What's up, everybody? Great to have you once again. It's the season of love. Valentine is here. And I know most of you have been carried away with one or two things. But don't forget, football is still here. And a lot to talk about. And so without further ado, welcome to the latest episode of Park on our Podcast. So Josh, hope you're well.
Don't call my name, guy. Don't call my name. I'm ashamed of you. It's the season of what?
Ashamed of what? I don't understand.
It's the season of what? Are you, first of all, are you not single? So what are you, season of love?
I'm single doesn't mean I should not.
This lonely guy is disguising.
Valentine is not just for couples, it's for everyone.
You should love your family members.
You should love to your those around you.
You should love to everybody every day. But this particular day has been colonized by the lovebirds to do their thing, and then I am personally not interested. So I don't appreciate you saying it's the season of love. Like, I'm sensitive to saying that. This is one of us podcast. So, season of love, post it on your page, please. Don't involve me in such nonsense.
If I put you on the spot now, ask you how you spent your Valentine or how you spent your yesterday.
Bro, I was in my house.
Okay. Were you in your house alone?
Actually, my sister's house. No. I've been in my sister's house for maybe 2 weeks or something. So yesterday
You didn't have visitors, special someone.
No visitor.
Of course, you tell us because this is a podcast. Well, I get it. Don't worry. We know what you're doing. We'll just wink at
you. But you now, you just casted yourself. So tell us, how many visitors did you have? It's not did you have, it's how many.
What visitors you mean? Yes. Yesterday, I was not feeling well. I had diarrhea. Most of my time I spent it in the toilet. So that's how I was. So you can't catch me slacking, please.
That's ridiculous. Either ways. So
no problem.
Is the season of Champions League returning? I don't know what about. So this weekend we had. Okay, first of all, apologies for missing 2 episodes last week. I was sick. It was actually 2 different things. So last Tuesday, I had catarrh, and sore throat and headache for like 2 days. So that was that. Then on Friday, I lost my voice because of the cough. The cough made me lose my voice. So by Friday, I was actually feeling like better. I wasn't sick anymore, but I had no voice to record the podcast.
Well, what I'm hearing from all the things you're explaining is, ladies, especially the gentlemen, be careful where you put your mouth. That's what I would say. Be careful where you put your mouth. So
why you get, there was a lot of dust. I was on the road some days before I fell sick, so I inhaled a lot of dust, and that's what caused it.
I don't understand why you're being defensive. I'm just advising my fellow gentlemen.
No, I'm just clarifying things so that they won't think otherwise. I don't understand.
I'm just telling the gentlemen what to do so that they don't think
everybody's like me.
Okay, I shake my head.
So, please, let's talk about football. I think we should start with the Premier League. And Manchester United have forgotten how to win matches. 3 games in a row now, they've taken the lead and considered an equalizer. Middlesbrough FA Cup and 2 Premier League games in a row now. Am I you suffering from a mentality thing? Like, they cannot see out leads. Is it mentality or is it not just playing well? Which one is it?
What is it? I would say it's like, let me put it like this. they've not been coached well. Like, how will I put it? Like, when you see,
I thought Radnick was a good coach.
No. This is not Radnick. No. This is not Radnick. The reason why I'm saying it is the intensity they come up with. They cannot sustain it for the entirety of the match. So that's why you see there's a drastic drop off. There's a drastic drop off in the second half. That's why these days, like, you could clearly see that they concede late goals because there's a drop off, and the drop off comes from players in key positions. And when those players drop off, we all know who they are. When they drop off, most likely the opposition gets a chance to do something. And we've seen it time and time again, like you've mentioned, and it's a consistent theme so far since the start of this year.
For me, I see a problem in terms of, you know, under Ole, they were terrible first half, good second half. Now they've switched the same group of players and now good first half, awful second half. So it just shows that there's just a lack of desire to be competent. Because that's all it comes down to. Just be competent and do your job for 90 minutes. So I hear Rafalik say all this nonsense of, we're good for 45 minutes. We deserve to be leading by 2 or 3 goals in the first half. I'm like, Oga, match does not end in the first half. So I'm not going to applaud you for being good in the first half and rubbish in the second half. You have to sit through the entire 90 minutes. And there was a leak last week where United players have nicknamed Chris Amas. That's part of the coaching staff of Rafinha. They've nicknamed him Ted Lasso. Ted Lasso, for people who don't know, a series where an American coach who knows absolutely nothing about football goes to England to become a coach. So United players are basically mocking part of their coaching staff. Are these players even serious about their careers anymore?
Man, like, see, the issue about United is something that can't be fixed in just one transfer window. But the truth is, when they start getting realistic and start seeing that some of the players they have cannot be performing, they can't perform together. For example, you can clearly see that the only decent and competent defender they have is Varane. And Varane was still getting spawned by Broya in that Southampton game. And you could now see the clowns be close to him, like Maguire.
But so, you know what? Honestly speaking, right now, if I were in charge of United summer, we're getting 3 defenders.
Yeah, exactly. We're getting
3 defenders sick and tired of this nonsense I'm watching every week.
You're spot on. When Mourinho was talking about Luke Shaw, people criticized Mourinho. Luke Shaw would go and play 20 games and have 2 decent games. They would call him world class, but they forget that he was shit for the remaining 18 matches. So, like, if we
move over, you're being harsh, though. I think so. The way I look at Shaw is, Shaw has been playing since he was 18. He broke into Southampton team at 18. Right now, I think he's about 26. That's because, but I think Shaw has had only 2 good seasons in his career. First season,
I disagree. I think he only had a very good 6 months. Okay. Yeah, I agree. I see what you're saying. The one with Southampton. But I think the only decent year he had with United was just 6 months. And that was the 6 months leading to the Euros. That was it. Finish. And I don't see anything that he has done to impress anybody.
Moving over to the person that actually requires the hammer is Maguire. Maguire, like you called him a clown. But Rafinha said Rafael said he's not going to strip him of the captaincy. Is that a good thing? Or he said he's not going to strip him of the captaincy. He doesn't want to hurt his feelings, he doesn't want to hurt his confidence, or does he actually think he's a good captain?
Captain or not, the truth is Manchester United should be looking for a way to ship Maguire because Maguire, like, I hate people when people are not realistic. He has shown time and time again that he's not. Since he came to United, he has not had any decent season. He only had a good 6 months. That's the same 6 months, the same timeline with Luke Shaw. Since he came, he has been terrible for them. Keep giving the ball away, creating errors, doing no look defending, nothing. He has not been good for them. I don't even slam him. The truth is, at the end of the day, there are so many players in this United team that is underperforming. Like players like Rashford. Rashford will shoot the ball straight to the car park. Sancho as well. Sancho will see Ronaldo in a very good position. Pass the ball on time, he won't. Ronaldo is just there too as well, sitting in the box, not really involving himself in the play. I don't want to blame Ronaldo. We all know what Ronaldo is.
So let me just continue. I don't think you finished slamming enough players. You see Bruno Fernandes? Ask him, guy, what is your position on the pitch? I swear to God, Bruno Fernandes does not know his position. Because I see him in the wing. I see him in the number 10 position. I see him in the deep line playmaker role. I'm like, guy, you know, we know you have a free room, yes? But why don't you focus on being influential in the game rather than just hovering everywhere? When they tell you have a free room, you still have to roam with sense. You cannot just be everywhere because you have a free room.
And my friend said this thing. It actually stuck with me. It was like, Bruno Fernandes thinks he's playing Soccer Hero. I don't know if you know Soccer Hero. Score Hero. Whereby people will tell you, oh, he's giving the ball away because he's our most creative player. My friend will always tell them that, look, how will you be giving the ball away for majority of the matches? Like what is it called? Like, for example, you see De Bruyne. De Bruyne is one of Manchester City's chief creators. But at least the amount of chances and stuff he creates has to upset the amount of chances and the amount of times he gives the ball away. You cannot have 90% giving the ball away and you're creating, let's say, 10% chances. Do you understand? If it's the other way around, then cool.
I think he doesn't trust his teammates, and I can't really blame him because Sancho is new, he hasn't done anything. Rashford has lost it. Ronaldo is more of, I'm here to score, I'm not here to create for anybody. Pogba has been out for a while. Now, the irony is that Pogba has been the one receiving a lot of slack from the United fans, but he was arguably their best player against Southampton.
There's nothing like arguably in the conversation. He was their best player.
He was their only good player on the pitch.
He was. Like, Pogba always gets insulted and hated upon because even when he was injured, we're still seeing hate. Even when he posted a picture, people hated on him. I don't know. They just hate the guy, and it's time for the guy to leave. The only solution for Manchester United is very simple. They should bring people that has footballing knowledge and hire a better coach, then back the coach to bring in the players they want.
You're talking about end of season solution. They need a solution right now. Are they just going to write off the season?
Yeah, they need a solution right now. I get what you mean, and then they are in danger of missing out in the top four. But the truth is now,
mind you, if they miss out on the top four, to get those players you're talking about will be difficult because those players want to play Champions League football.
Yeah, that's fact. But what I would just say is, Ralf Rangnick just needs to find a balance. I know the squad has so many imbalances in it, but he just needs to find a little bit of balance. And I know they will still concede goals, but just make sure that they score enough goals to see off a match. That's what I would say.
I think right now, I've had enough of Rashford, Sancho. I want to see Lingard in the 11. I don't think he'll be any worse than they are. Lingard cannot be any worse than what I've been saying. So I want to see Lingard in the 11. I want to see Pogba starting every game. I want to see Lindelof. I don't want to see Maguire again. I think we start from there. Let's get Lindelof and Lingard in and let's see what changes, if anything. But what do you see them doing against Brighton? Is there another draw the way?
I think Manchester United will win. Like Brighton, the thing that pains me about Brighton is they play beautiful football, but Mope is abysmal in front of goal. He always wastes.
But you know the interesting thing. Brighton this season have been specialists at going down 1-0 and drawing 1-1, and that's what United have been doing for the past 2 weeks. So it just smells like a 1-1 United scoring first.
I feel like if United take their chances, they'll win. Because Brighton, the issue with them is they were too, like, we'll see it today. Like, they'll create chances, but they won't be able to finish. That's their problem all time. So, I feel like United will have enough in their locker to win.
I'm not so confident. I must confess, I'm not so confident. Leaning towards a 1-1 draw. But we'll see. For the sake of United fans, I hope I'm wrong. And by me saying I hope I'm wrong, I don't mean they should now lose the game. Because that would just be sad. Do we have a title race on now? Liverpool scraped a 1-0 victory against Burnley. Klopp described it as they escaped a banana peel, a banana skin. Are we getting carried away or is there a title race?
Personally, I feel like there's a title race because when you actually look at Liverpool's record, I'm telling you, if someone go and check it, Liverpool in the last 20 games, they've won, I think they've won like 17. They drew one. I saw the stats before coming on to the podcast. But basically, Liverpool's form has been very, very, very good. The only thing is, okay, now I'm looking at it now. So this is Liverpool. Liverpool, they lost to Leicester. They lost to Leicester 1-0. But before then, they drew to Tottenham. And before then, what I'm seeing here is green, 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 green. Then the green stopped at us now. So let me put it like this. So they have three draws, one loss in like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 22, 23, 24, 25, like 25 games. They have just three draws, one loss. And if you look at that record in all competition, that is in all competition, that is a very good team. That's a very good team.
But when that's a very good team. Exactly.
But Man City. Man City.
only one draw in like the last 15 in the Premier League. So, no, you know.
Like the Man City one, I'm also looking at it too now. Manchester City, I don't know what they are on. The last draw they had was Southampton. That was it, Southampton. And that was recent. But before then, the last game they lost was RB Leipzig in the Champions League.
Which was a dead rubber game that meant absolutely nothing to them.
Nothing. And before then, they were already like on a 9-game winning streak. My God. See, so that's what I'm saying. Like, Liverpool, truthfully, they've been very unlucky. Like, that's what I'm saying. There's a title race, and I feel like the title race will only happen because Liverpool hold all the cards. So if Liverpool can escape beating Internazionale, I think they play Inter Milan and Chelsea in the same week. If they can win Chelsea, win Inter, I think they are...
No, Chelsea is the League Cup final. Chelsea is the League Cup final. It doesn't affect the title.
Okay. I'm jumping things. I'm adding things that are not equal. But bottom line is, I think Liverpool, they still have to face Chelsea and they still have to face Manchester City. And those games,
they are done with Chelsea, actually. They are done with Chelsea. They still have to face City. They still have to face United.
Okay. Yes. I remember the Chelsea game. The Chelsea game was 2-2 draw. Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
It was a 2-2 draw where Kovacic scored that screamer. I remember. So, yeah, they're done with Chelsea. So, basically, they need to make sure that they don't lose against Manchester City. That's just it. So for them, their destiny is in their hands. That's why I look at it. Their destiny is in their hands.
Definitely, still in their hands. We'll see how it goes. Finally, on the Premier League, Tottenham dropping points yet again to Wolves. Now, I think I'm tired of talking about Tottenham. Tottenham are inconsistent. The players they bought are not world class. So let's forget about Spurs for today. I want to talk about Wolves. Have Wolves found a way into this top four race, or am I getting carried away?
Nah, you're getting carried away because they don't have the firepower. When you look at it, they're in the conversation right now. The table suggests
that. Who has the firepower? United are inconsistent. Tottenham, Arsenal, West Ham. Why can't Wolves sneak in there? At least to be in the fight.
Because as we know already, the season is very, very long. It's still long. So I feel like there will be points in the season where the other teams, due to the squad that the other teams have, the other team will still be above Wolves. That's why I see it. And just to even touch on Spurs, I know you don't want to hear it, but you don't want to hear anything about Spurs, but I'll just say this. Just two sentences. Antonio Conte will leave that club.
How soon? Because I have two sides to this. I think if they don't back him in the summer, I think he works in August. But if they back him, then he probably stays till end of next season.
Okay. I'll put this on record and we'll see how correct I am. Come January 2023, I don't think Antonio Conte will be the Spurs manager.
So is it going to work or is it going to be sacked? He cannot be sacked. That's just a
true question. Either way, whether sacking or working, I'm just saying my own. I don't think he will be the manager.
How stupid would Spurs be if they actually sack their best manager in years?
Yeah, well, Daniel Levy is capable of doing so many, many things. So I won't put that one past him. Exactly.
I mean, he sacked Mourinho one day before, or was it one day or like?
I think it was one day before.
4 days. Yeah. I mean, that just shows you that they're determined not to win any trophy. So,
exactly.
Speaking of getting carried away, we spoke last week, and you were so excited. And actually, I will agree with you that Barcelona's performance against Atletico was, for me personally, the best of the season so far. Like their own best performance so far. And then to be followed up by such a disappointing result. Of course, they drew last minute, so they were actually happy to. Overall, was it 1 point gained or 2 points dropped?
No, I feel like it's 2 points dropped. Like, I feel like in the first half, everybody played well except Frankie de Jong. I know Barcelona fans will come and slander Busquets, but let me just go on this rant now. So, for example, we created chances. Barcelona played well in my eyes in the first half. They created chances. Of course, Espanyol will still try to expose Barcelona and hit them in the break. But the issue there is, if Barcelona had finished those chances, the momentum of the game or it switches, like that's how football is, it switches and you're not in the driving seat and now you're not in a commanding position in the game. Ferran Torres had like two sitters where Adama Traore put in a cross for him. He had it was on a plate. He just had to bury it and he didn't do that. They even gave him a through ball that I feel like if Aubameyang was there, that could have been a different story, a different fringe. I'm not blaming Ferran Torres. We all know that he has had a very difficult spell. He has been out for a while and he's just coming back and even got COVID immediately he came back from his injury. But what I would say is the only person that I would blame overall in this game is, and I don't want to really blame him, I would say Xavi, because the game was screaming out for someone that knows how to finish in the air. Because I can't lie to you, Adama Traore has surprised me very, very well this season. He puts in so many good crosses in the game. Even in the second half when Barcelona were still behind, he was putting in fantastic crosses, but still there was no one to finish. And in the end, that was how the equalizer still came about, through a fantastic cross from Adama Traore. So at the end of the day, what I'm just saying is like that was Xavi's own in-game management. There were players he was supposed to put on. So now do you not see Barcelona fans in Twitter? The Barcelona pundits now. Twitter pundits. the Barcelona Twitter pundits now are coming out and say, oh, Xavi should have left Frenkie de Jong. Frenkie de Jong was one of the, I think he was the worst Barcelona player. He kept giving him the ball. He kept giving the ball away.
No, I'll land.
I'll tell you
the worst, but let's go. Continue.
No problem. So he kept giving the ball away. He was not. He kept giving the ball away. He could not hold the ball. Even the one they gave to him, he could not hold it. He was all over the place. Like, even when they subbed him, you could see it from his face that, well, I understand why you're subbing me, coach, because I'm not good there. Now, we now made a first change. We now brought in, what is his name? We now brought in Eric Garcia. I don't understand the kind of defending Eric Garcia was. I don't know if Maguire is his mentor. I don't understand how you can defend like that, possibly as a professional footballer. But well, I won't blame him. I hate because when I come for a player, I come for them with the hammer.
Yes, you blame me.
I won't say anything until when I give him two consistent games and I keep seeing the same thing. Because me, I don't hide my own. When I give you time and you don't perform, I will come for you. That's the way me I am. Then all in all, Serginho Dest, the American again, this guy. My sight says it all. There is nothing to even analyze. Let me just put it there. My sight says it all. Let me just leave it there. But all in all, I feel like Gavi balled as usual. He was very impressive. I loved the performance from Gavi. Who else impressed me? Araujo. I think Araujo and Gavi impressed me. Araujo, for the first half that he played, he showed brilliance and he was calm. Pique as well was impressive. The only thing about Pique is, at the end of the game, he now lost his head when he was not supposed to and got the silly red card. But all in all, I feel like Barcelona, these are games that they should be winning. So to answer your question, I feel like it was 2 points dropped instead of 8 points gained.
Okay, so obviously we know that you were really, really pissed. So I want to give a few honorable mentions before I mention the worst player on the pitch. First honorable mention goes to Ferran Torres, showing why he's a future Ballon d'Or winner. He clears goal-scoring chances. Absolutely ridiculous, the excuse he gave him of being injured. You can't because he has been playing since end of January. So he has had himself going, and then for him to miss those chances, I don't know. I think even Lacazette will not miss what he missed. Let me just put it like that. Lacazette, that is a terrible finisher, will not miss what Ferran Torres missed. Second honorable mention goes to Serginho Dest. So let me put it like this. When someone comes from a country that is not good at football, generally speaking, so you have small countries like maybe in Africa or countries that like America where football is not big. So you have an average player being called world class because there's a total lack of talent in this country. I think that's what Serginho Dest is. So that's all I'm going
please,
to say.
Please, George, let's not piss off our American listeners. Let's just leave the death matter. Let's just allow it slide, please.
Okay, so that's all I'm going to say about Serginho Dest. But you see the worst player on the pitch. The person that should not be allowed to wear a Barcelona jersey for the rest of this season. You know who that is?
Oh, is it Busquets you want to call?
Eric Garcia. you see the thing with Eric Garcia is he was on years, and I can tell you that the only reason Barcelona got him was because he was in their youth system and they wanted to do a homecoming. If he did not come from Barcelona's youth system, they would not go after him. So that's the first sign to know that this is rubbish. Because it's about sentiment, not about quality. The second sign to tell you that Xavi was stupid in this match for playing him was Before Eric Garcia got injured, he was playing terribly. So imagine somebody that was in terrible form, got injured for about a month.
No. Garcia was okay. No, let me just play. Before he left, I will not say like he was having one kind of season. He was just having.
Okay. So let me put it like this. He started terribly, improved to average, then got injured at average. Is that okay with you?
Yeah. Let me put it like that. That would be a good way to look at it.
So he got injured at average, and then he was out for about 4 or 5 weeks. And then he comes back from injury. Mind you, this is a Catalan derby. This is not a... Obviously, Espanyol is a small club, but anytime they face Barcelona, they really go at it because it's a derby. And then guess what the genius Xavi does? Like, okay, this guy has been out for 4 weeks. I'm going to put you in a match that has a lot of hard tackles going in, a lot of intensity, a lot of pace. And I'm going to put you in knowing that you're not match ready. So I think Xavi just hung him out to dry, basically. Like Xavi just said, well, anything you do is on you.
The truth is, me, when some managers make changes, I understand why. Do you know who else is on the bench?
Who was on the bench?
Let's not pretend. You know who else is on that bench?
Bench. Tell me. Someone who could be worse than Eric Garcia. Tell me.
Clement Longley is worse than this guy. I'll tell you that's a lie.
You know anything about Longley? Longley will give you, out of 90 minutes, Longley will give you 60 very good minutes and the rest, okay. But he will make about 3 very daft errors. Maybe one of the errors will lead to a goal. The other 2 will not lead to a goal. And because of those 3 massive errors, you forget about how well you played the rest of the match. That's Longley. But you see, Eric Garcia does not even give me the 60 good minutes that Longley will even give me. He doesn't.
Well, I know Longley. He has been at the club for close to 4 years now. And I'm telling you that guy is terrible. But let not be like I'm disagreeing with you. I agree with what you're saying. But the truth is, we're just here arguing about 2 terrible players. So I have 2 good news before we move on. 2 good news. And I got a good news and a bad news for Barcelona fans. So the good news, I will start with the good news. The good news for Barcelona fans is Araujo has a muscular problem. And the muscular problem is said to be an overload. I think on his groin. So basically, it's not.
How is that good news?
No, wait. That's a good news. Listen, do you understand why it's a good news when I get to the bad news? So basically, he will be out for a while to just allow his muscles to relax. They'll give him time off. Now, the bad news is. Garcia and Longley will be the matchup. You know why? Because
PK has a red card.
So that is the bad news. So now you understand why Araujo not going out for 3 weeks is good news.
So I actually don't know who Barcelona face next in the league, but I'm going to just say that they are going to lose.
Whoever they face, Valencia. Yes, the face Valencia.
Okay, it's confirmed. They're going to lose. That's all I'm going to say. So, Real Madrid, quickly. Are they too reliant on Benzema? Because there was really not much to talk about in their game against Villarreal.
There's, like, you know, there are some things that are obvious, that are very, like, it's not hard to see. Like, if Benzema is there, some of all these chances, like, the truth is, Real Madrid, they create chances. There's some of all these chances that they get. Benzema is clinical. He will finish those chances. He's clinical and ruthless. And another thing that people seem to undermine Benzema's game is Benzema is one of the players that knits things together. So you need a player that can knit things together, that can make everything come together. And now when you look at the attack, some things are very disjointed. You understand? So you can clearly see that these players, some of them, they don't have that chemistry or that synergy yet. So I think they really, really miss Benzema. Let's be honest. And thank God he has not been available. Thank God he has not been available, because it would be embarrassing seeing Real Madrid
pulling
even further away from Barcelona.
Of course, but Bele. So I'll just say, just an honorable mention, Gareth Bale had two good chances. He hit the post. But apart from that, apart from those chances, those attempts, there was really not much. I think there's too much being expected on the Black Messiah. He cannot carry the world on his shoulders.
Oh my God.
He needs a break. He needs Benzema beside him. And Black. So... Well, do you have any problem with that?
No. I will swallow my thoughts. It's okay. Let me know.
Thank you.
Okay.
And so, really, that's it. But I think, so now, do you think Benzema should be mixed against PSG? Do you think? Because okay, look at it this way.
Okay.
Madrid are just four. Madrid are more likely to win the league than the Champions League. Because let's even put it like this. Even if they beat PSG, they're still Liverpool, they're still Man City, which both of them are better than Real Madrid. So is it just better to just leave him, rest him for this game because he's not fit and focus on the league? Or do you risk it and say, you know what, we are Real Madrid, we are going for everything?
Yes, of course, Real Madrid, you know their mentality. And especially Real Madrid, they may even be real with you. They don't even care that much for La Liga because they feel like Champions League is their
best, right? I think they have to care this season because they had a very healthy lead at the point.
Yeah. But to answer your question is, I would say like this. Will I be a Debbie Downer to say Real Madrid don't really need Benzema to beat PSG? I'll tell you why. Real Madrid has a better defense. Wait. Just hear me. Real Madrid has a better defense. Real Madrid has a better midfield. The only thing that PSG has over Real Madrid is that PSG has a better attack. That is it. But now, with the... I think they've removed the away goals. With the away goals being out, so now I feel like Real Madrid can still score with the attacking players they have against this PSG team, and they can still create chances at will when you have Toni Kroos and Modric pulling the strings. So I feel like they won't really miss Benzema. Obviously, if Benzema is there, Benzema will make them much more better. But like I'm just saying, they won't really need Benzema now. Where they will actually need Benzema will be at the other fixture if anything goes south in this fixture. I don't know if that makes sense.
You know what? I think you have a lot of faith in Real Madrid as a team. I don't have so much faith because I look at it as this. There's a mental strain it's going to put on the other players if Benzema is not there, because Benzema is their best player. So you know how...
Let me twist what you just said now. I think you have a lot of faith in PSG. I think you're looking at PSG like this team that...
No. I'm still remembering that Pochettino is their coach. I'm still remembering that their midfield consists of Paredes and Idris Agueye. But.
Okay, the but is coming.
PSG players know that they were assembled to win this Champions League. You know, there's something that is very, very hard to explain that goes on in the mind of a player. Look at Messi in the Champions League this season, and look at Messi in the Ligue 1. Two totally different players. So I think all PSG players have that mindset of this is the competition that we have to win.
I think
they will perform better than
I feel like the way you're going about this, I'm looking at the mind of our listeners and they want a direct question. So now, you're bold about this PSG thing. Can you now say confidently that PSG will win against Madrid? Because you're bold about this thing.
I would say they will win tonight, but I don't know if they will go through. But I said they win tonight.
Okay. No problem. For me, if Benzema playing or not, I don't think PSG will win.
Okay. I mean, it's actually hard to argue because it's very, very difficult to call. I think this is one of the toughest round of 16 fixtures to actually predict, really. It could go either way.
Exactly.
So, like, I'm not too confident saying PSG will win, but I'm just leaning towards them.
I agree. Like, even PSG have their own problem with Neymar. So, Pochettino will be looking to maybe start Neymar or leave him out or bring him on in the second half. But I think
this is even a blessing in disguise. I think leave Neymar on the bench. I think you start Messi, you start Mbappe, and then you put one more body in midfield to make yourself more solid. I think it's actually a blessing in disguise.
Or you can just start Di Maria, who is a hybrid of both attack.
Hell no. Di Maria is just going to be there, just like Neymar. He's not going to do anything defensively. Hell no.
I get you, but we'll see. Pochettino always with the they all have the playbook of Lampard and Ole, so we'll see what he does.
No. Lampard is even better than at least Everton won 3-0 for just this weekend alone. Then I don't think we should be calling out Lampard for just today.
Right.
In the Serie A, Juve won their first match with Vlahovic. He scored on his debut. He scored in the Coppa Italia. Everything seemed good. But against an out-of-form Atalanta side, they could only manage a draw. Mind you, they had to actually score late to secure the draw. So, expectations were really flying through the roof in the Italian media. Some people were saying that Juve might actually win the league this season. I was like, huh?
If Juve can win the league, that means Barcelona can win the league. Manchester United can win the league. Let's start going like that.
So I think it's just ridiculous. I think highest they should be hoping for. Let me not say hoping. Highest they can aim for is fourth. Or do you think they can sneak into the top three?
Yes, they can. The thing is, that's my issue with all these teams that are there. Like, some of all these teams, they don't have that firepower to see. Like, for example, AC Milan, they are good now. Mm-hmm. But there will be a time AC Milan will not be good. And that time, you hear Giroud is out, Theo Hernandez out, Kessie out. Like some kind of key players in
setting. Are you swearing for Milan? Like, I don't understand. Why is it just
I'm not swearing for them. The only thing is that for me, like, for example, if Vlahovic was to go out now, Juventus they'll be affected because Vlahovic is trying to become one of their key and solid player. But you cannot say Juventus they will suffer from it too much because they still have some attacking players that they can put there that could actually get the job done. If they actually create chances for them. But for some other teams that are in around the conversation, I don't think you can say the same for them.
Okay, so I'll just say this. Juve are not in the title race. I'm sorry, Juventus fans. I'm just being honest. You are not in the title race.
That's fact.
You are not in the title race. You should be concerned about Atalanta and Lazio for the top four. But now, over to the people who are actually in the title race, the two Milan clubs and Napoli. Who are favorites for the league? Because Milan are currently topping Inter 1 point behind with a game in hand. So, considering Inter have a game in hand, are they favorites or are we just looking at the team that is actually topping?
Well, I will say it again, like what I just said a few minutes ago. Inter Milan still has one of the best squads and they still have one of the core teams that actually won this Scudetto last year. So, I feel like they know the know-how and they will still win it. Because like I said, Napoli, they'll get to a point where you see them, they're not consistent enough. Koulibaly might be out. What's his name? Osimhen might be out. We even saw like a few weeks ago where they were having some inconsistent results. Yeah.
Why are you just sounding pessimistic? Like you're just wishing that everybody will be out. Can't you just look at the bright side of saying everybody stays fit? Who can win the league? You're just talking. You're just you can be out, Tayo can be out,
Koulibaly. This is not this is not wait. This is not Disney. This is not Disney where we are doing wishful thinking. When we are doing wishful thinking, this is reality. All of them, they are still in cup competitions. They are still in the league conversation. So there'll be injuries here and there. And can you have the squad to cope when that happens? I don't think so. That's what I'm saying. I don't think others have the squad to cope. I feel like Milan has the squad to cope. That's what I'm saying. So that's why I feel like Milan will win.
Not Milan.
Inter, sorry. let people not insult me, please. Respect.
Okay. I actually have to agree with that. I think Inter have the best squad. Though to be honest, I don't trust their bench too much. I don't trust Alexis. I don't trust Vidal anymore. But I rather have Alexis and Vidal than the bench of Napoli and the bench of Milan. So it's just a case of people that used to class are better than people that have never been world class in their life. So that's just the way I'll put it.
Just put it like this: two failures, one is still better than one. That's just it.
Finally, let's talk about the Bundesliga.
Well, what are we talking about again? What are we talking about?
Bayern Munich lost to VfL Bochum.
Huh? Hey, wait. Let's bring it. This is breaking news. You know when they say breaking news, something has happened. Man, you how many goals?
Mind you, it was 4-1 before Bayern even pulled the second goal back.
So wait, they've scored 4 goals past the Bayern team. 4 goals.
Yes, 4 goals. Now you know the thing is, this Bayern team are lacking something that, oh no, they have a deficiency that other teams don't have. You know they lost 5-0 to Borussia Mönchengladbach in the cup. You remember?
Yeah.
And now they've conceded 4 goals. Bayern teams of 2010, 11, 13, 14, like all those years. It would never have happened, but now it has happened twice in one season. So, is it possible that we are overrating their Champions League chances? Like, if Bochum can do this to them on a bad day, why can't City not do it to them? Why can't Liverpool?
No. I don't think it will happen. Let me stop pretending.
Considering that Manuel Neuer is going to be out for some months.
Just hear me out. No, you're not. Bayern can still win the Champions League. Let me stop pretending. I followed the game. I was seeing everything else that was happening.
I have to say I don't agree. They cannot win the Champions League without Neuer. They can win the league without Neuer, but not the Champions League.
You forget that Bayern, they play, what is it called? They don't play passing. What they play is pressure football. That is suffocate the opponent. That is all. And how many chances do you want to get against Bayern? If Lewandowski is fit, who is one of their deadly strikers, I feel Bayern will win anybody without Neuer. Yes, they will concede goals. The knockout system has changed already. They will concede goals, but those goals will not allow them get knocked out. So I feel like they will have enough in their locker to score. That's the result in the weekend. It was just an experimental thing that Marc Guzman tried to do. I think he went with something like 4-1-4-1. Played everyone in attack, then only Kimmich just doing the defensive duties. That I think it was just an experimental thing.
Yeah, no, but actually he has been doing it for 3 matches now. This is the 3rd match, I think. So it looks like he's actually leading towards this now full time, not just an experiment anymore.
Okay, but I hope that he has learned that the thing has backfired and it's not be like some managers that we know and be stubborn. And try something else.
You know, I'm not even sure he's going to look at it that way. I think he's going to look at it as a one-off, which I think would actually harm them in the Champions League if they keep playing like this.
Yeah, if
they're going to destroy Salzburg. Let's not even miss words about that. But I'm talking about the next round, a possible Real Madrid or PSG, a possible Liverpool, a possible City tie. then there might be a few problems.
If he continues with that lineup here, yeah, I can definitely see what you're saying. They might be smashed by other teams.
So now, Dortmund capitalized on Bayern's win, winning Union Berlin 3-0 with a brace, leading by example, captain. I don't want to talk about the match. I want to talk about the league itself. Is there now a title race, or are Dortmund just winding us?
Okay. So let me play two parts. I'll be professional Leonard and say, of course there's a title race, and I see Dortmund can do something. And I'll now be myself and tell you this is the Bundesliga and it's made for Bayern and Bayern will win it. Let's stop all this title race. And so whichever answer you like, you choose.
No. Like when I say title race, I'm not saying Bayern will not win it, but like, is it going to be tight? Is it going to be just 3 points? Is it just going to be 2 points? Like, that's what
okay,
I'm
you want
asking.
Me to repeat my answer again? I just gave you my answer. Okay. I'll repeat it again. It's title race. This is a professional league. The league is open now to everyone as Bayern has dropped points. Then me, as Leonard, the one you know on the podcast, is now telling you this. Don't be brainwashed, guys. Don't be brainwashed. This is how they scam us and collect our money from bets. You think something is there's nothing there. There's not okay. Very soon you hear that Bayern down 18 games winning streak. You will hear it very soon. So let's not deceive ourselves.
Actually, very, very hard to disagree with that. I don't see a title race. I was just baiting you to hear what you say, but you didn't fall for it. I heard something very ridiculous last week. Okay. And I'm sure you heard it too, but I'm not sure if our listeners heard it. So we would have talked about better late than never. But the Bundesliga have a new head, a woman who just got into the job. And guess what her genius idea is? She wants to create a playoff system. And I know what you're thinking. There's already a playoff system in Bundesliga. The team that finishes third to bottom faces a team from Bundesliga 2. And that's the playoff. I'm like, no, guys. No, that's not it. They want to turn Bundesliga to the MLS. They want to turn Bundesliga to the NBA, whereby the top four will have a playoff to win the league. So even if Bayern finish with 90 points, and second has 78, they will still have, and even let's even say the third has just 65 points, and the fourth has just 60 points. The four of them will go to, and then Bayern might not win the league. I know we've talked about we want the league to be more competitive, but this is absolute nonsense, is it not?
This is ridiculous. And you know what? Like, it's very funny. I can laugh at it, but it's very ridiculous because it's stupid. Because you can clearly see that they are trying to make the league more competitive by putting Bayern in that position. But let's be real. Bayern plays any of those teams in any playoff, they will still get smashed. So why waste any time
But now there's a possibility of a one-off. Because Dortmund on their day might win Bayern. And therefore you have an unworthy league champion.
Yes, that is true. But let's put it quality and pattern of play. Let's say that there is actually a playoff for them to actually win the thing. Do you actually think Bayern will drop that day? Like Bayern, see, let me not even bring any scenario here. Let me just be direct. The idea is terrible. It doesn't make any sense, and we should stop all this. Like it's the same thing they want to do with football. They want to turn football to a Super Bowl. 15 minutes. You hear first quarter, second quarter, then first half.
Are you joking?
Yes. Now that's one of the plans FIFA have. So they want to bring things that they like. Basically, they want to spoil an engine that is running perfectly instead of them to know how.
You know what? You know why? is money.
More
adverts with the more views.
Yes, exactly. But at the end of the day, they will ruin the game because when the quality of the game is not there, you're not ruining it. And you forget that football, man, I don't want to even go into that. That will be a topic for another day. But at the end of the day, the idea is just terrible and stupid.
The interesting thing, what I even found very fascinating is Oliver Kahn, who is an executive at Bayern Munich, he said that they are not afraid of it, that they should bring it. They should bring it on. Bayern welcome any challenge. Bayern welcome the playoff system. But then Bayer Leverkusen are actually the ones who are against it. And you think Bayer Leverkusen should be for it because the top four traditional Bayern, Dortmund, Leipzig, Leverkusen. But Leverkusen are against it. It just shows that they don't want to win the league that they, in an undeserving manner. So fair play to them. And we'll just see. I hope this nonsense doesn't come to fruition. If not, the Bundesliga will be ruined forever.
Yeah, I agree.
Now, quick Champions League predictions. Let's start with the games that we already know the winner. Man City travel to Lisbon. How many goals did they win by?
Sporting will win.
You're joking. Please, let's be serious now.
I don't understand. I give you my prediction now.
Let's be serious, guy.
Ladies and gentlemen, the day I will not answer, they will say I'm running away. Now I'm answering this. Let's be serious. I don't understand.
Wait. You can put money on it.
That day, I'm a broke person, so there's no money I'm putting on.
Of course. So, be serious now. I tell you that City win by at least a 2-goal margin. At least.
I think the match will be a 4-1 game.
To Sporting Lisbon, because you said they are going to win.
I've said what I said. The match will be a 4-1 game.
Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, Sporting Lisbon to win City by 4-1.
That's not what I said, though. That's not what I said.
That's what you said. You said Lisbon would win, and you said it would be a 4-1 game. So I put it together.
I never said Lisbon's own. When I said Lisbon was like 2 minutes ago. Now I said something different. Please. Don't twist it, please.
Okay, now so for the other small game, Bayern are going to win RB Salzburg by 3 goals.
Possibly. It might be more.
I'll say 3-1 just so that it will be like, let them pretend that the match was tough. The second leg, they really smashed their second leg. So I'll say 3-1 first leg. So let's talk about the real games now. We've already talked about the PSG City game. So let's talk about Inter-Liverpool. Are people underrating Inter? Because everybody I'm talking to just saying Liverpool are going to win. Inter, Italian champions, for God's sake.
What I'll just say is Inter, they are very wasteful. Like, you can see them, they will create chances, but they are very wasteful. If Inter take their chances, because they will have chances. The Virgil van Dijk was saying this season is not the Virgil van Dijk of 2 seasons ago. So they will have chances, definitely. But if they can take their chances, then I think we'll have a very good game. But I have a feeling that it might actually be a draw at the San Siro. But I just think that Liverpool might still edge it.
So, like, the front three we're expecting, we know Salah is surely there, but the other two seem to be up for grabs.
What do you mean up for grabs? I think my money will be in it.
I'm not because... sure Mane. I'm not. You see the thing? Mane is going to be in it, yes, because like reputation Mane. But if we're looking at form Mane, should he actually be in it?
Form Mane was one of the best players in the AFCON. So what?
Yeah, but form Mane Liverpool was nonsense before the AFCON.
Yes, but this is a different player coming back from the AFCON that he just won. So. Like only Klopp
will of which he scored only 2 goals in the AFCON. So let's not even get carried away.
But see, the goal is not just, you can't just see the goals to judge his performances. Like his performances were very, very good.
Actually, well. Yeah. To be fair, he was the chief creator as well. He was, although he did have a lot of assists, but he should have had a lot of assists with what he was creating.
Okay.
But now let's look at Fabinho Jota. Were you sold by what Firmino did against Burnley, or should Jota come back in?
I feel Firmino is one that needs things together. The issue with Jota is very wasteful. He's like Mope. Very, very wasteful. He will have chances. Actually, I have Jota in my FPL. There are so many times where should the bank brace or hat-trick, he will waste so many chances and you'll be... Like, he's one of all those players that can make you happy in a game and make you angry in the same match. So, I feel like Firmino will come back in.
Okay, so I think comparing to Mope is a bit too harsh. But I agree that he can be wasteful at times. But I think his movement is fantastic. Jota for me over Firmino all day long. I'm not even going to think about it. Like there's nothing to think about. Jota over Firmino all day long. And what you said about he wasted chances. I just remember last season when I had Sterling in my FPL and there was a game I watched. I can't remember who City played against. Sterling actually scored in that match, but he wasted 5 chances. So he scored. He did not blank for me. But after watching that match, I sold him. I was actually disgusted because of what he wasted. So I think sometimes if you watch matches, you might want to sell Jota. But when you actually remember that he actually scores goals, forget the chances he wasted, you're not going to sell him.
Yeah, agree. So who is winning for you?
I know I talked up Inter and everybody was underrated there, but I have to go with everybody. Liverpool are going to win.
Alright,
fine. Let me say Liverpool are going to go through, but Inter might be able to draw this first leg.
Okay. Fair enough.
So that's it. I've not heard something so stupid in a long time.
Everybody looking for trends and clicks, so they can see whatever they like.
Okay, so congratulations, Chelsea. But remember that you're 16 points behind Man City, so don't get too excited. And that's the end of the podcast. So thanks for listening. See you on Friday.